We have Adela Bonds, a returning guest again here on the Derek Shapiro Show and on DSS TV station. And how are you doing today, Ms. Adela Bonds?
I'm blessed. How's it going, Derek?
Great. And how's California treating you?
California's good. I'm actually in my car right now. I think what I'm going to do, though, is pull over so I can hear you. I don't want people to hear the sound of all the cars passing by.
That's funny you say that, because I have a mobile studio in my car as well, but I'm not in my car right now.
Oh, so sometimes when you interview, you're in your car interviewing?
Sometimes, yes. Actually, my last interview I did with you was in my car in Georgia. But now,
that's amazing.
And right now I'm in Salem, Massachusetts, right near Boston. You ever been to Salem, Massachusetts?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, here we are.
Yes. So tell me, what's new with you? Of course, you know, everybody knows that you were on Roseanne back in the day, and you and Erin Brockovich, and I joined Angels with Hilary Swank. What is new with Ms. Adela Bonds right now?
Well, presently, I've been producing. I'm one of the co-founders of the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival, and we just celebrated our 20th anniversary this year in March. Honorary chairperson Danny Glover, Hedy Winston, and others joined us. It was just amazing.
Danny Glover,
Yes, Danny and I go back. I was counting the years how long I've known him so I could announce it from the podium. And I said, Danny and I have known each other for 37 years.
Really?
I didn't know how many years it was until I did the math. Yes, we both are from the Bay Area. And I spent 17 years there, so I claim this home as well. And so we met, we were both cutting our teeth on theater in the Bay Area during the same time. He joined us for the 20th anniversary.
Now, when you think of Danny Glover, you think of two great movies that he was in, right? What do you think when you think about Danny Glover? What two movies do you think about?
Oh, gosh, he's done so many. He did the one that was on Mandela, of course. That's a big one.
Lethal Weapon.
Places in the Heart, and Lethal Weapon.
And The Color Purple. Yes.
I mean, the list goes on.
Yes.
So much work over the years. He really has had quite a career.
So I, have you done a movie with Danny Glover?
We've never done a movie together, but we did do a play together when I still lived in the Bay Area, called Primary Colors by Steve Carter. And at that time, Danny's career had just taken off, and he had moved from the Bay Area, living in Los Angeles. I was still in the Bay Area at that time. And so he came back, and we did a play together, so it was wonderful to work with him.
Sure.
And,
so tell me,
like Danny always says, it's important to go back to the well, and so that's why he continues to go back to theater periodically, and other actors like Denzel Washington, he's getting ready to go back on Broadway, so it's a great place to keep your chops up.
Have you worked with Denzel Washington, too?
Yeah, Denzel, actually, he, Danny, and I, we were all at the American Conservatory Theater at the same time in San Francisco training, so Denzel, I know, pre-stardom.
Because
just like with Danny, so it's really interesting to know these people and to have known them before they reach such notoriety, because it's a very different way of seeing them and knowing them.
Well, it's funny you say Denzel, because I'm right now in Salem, Massachusetts, you know, an hour and a half. And I'm an hour and a half away from Providence, Rhode Island, my home state. But I'm two cities away from Chelsea, Mass, where Denzel Washington just was working on a movie in Chelsea, Massachusetts.
Isn't that something? What a small, small world.
That's right.
He worked all the time.
Any other movies that you're going to be in soon, too?
I don't don't know what movie I'm going to be in next. I'm like every other actor. I'm out there auditioning. I just auditioned for a film today. I don't want to say too much about it. I don't want to jinx it. But I just had an audition today, as a matter of fact, for another film.
Now,
so we'll see what's up next.
Now, you're always very soft-spoken, you know, and you're very just, you know, down to earth. But do you like playing the edgy, like the more, you know, or like the not so good characters, or do you like playing mostly good characters?
That's an interesting question that you're asking me, because it never fails that every now and then my agents will. There's an airplane nearby, I'm near the Burbank Airport. It never fails that periodically my agents will send me out on something, and I'll look at the script and I'll say, I can't do it. I mean, recently there was a role they wanted me to go out for, and she was just not the kind of character I wanted to play. There was a lot of profanity and just, you know, hardcore. And I was like, nah, you guys know I don't do that. I don't do that. So it's really important to me that I do roles that I feel I'm comfortable playing, number one, and number two, that have some sense of integrity and that are redeeming.
Sure.
So those are very important elements to me in terms of deciding whether or not I will do a role. And when that's not happening, I either, you know, won't go out to audition, or if the offer's made, I won't do the role.
Now,
integrity is very important to me.
Now, actually, you work with John Goodman and, you know, Roseanne,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, that's
so
right. That's right for 5 seasons.
So there's a 360 turnaround with that, because you and John Goodman both work with Denzel Washington.
Ah, now what did he work with Denzel in?
In, well, most recently, The Flight, and he worked in that one...
And that's right!
Yeah.
He was in that!
Yeah.
He really worked that role, as a matter of fact. That was a good role for him.
Yes,
he really worked as a drug dealer, yes.
Yes, and he was in another role with Denzel Washington back in the day. I can't think of it right now, but...
Oh, he worked on another one? Okay.
Yep. So,
yes. That's right, Flight. Oh, what a film that was.
Yes.
That was amazing.
So
that's right.
But see, I do movies too.
John is multi-talented as well. He's very versatile in the roles that he plays.
Yes, and you know, hopefully I'll get a privilege to work with you, because I'm doing my own movies too, and hopefully I'll put you in one of my movies someday, you know?
Let's claim that! Yay!
Yes.
Let's claim that! Mm-hmm.
So where can people find your information? Again, AdelaBarnes.com, right?
Yes, I can go to AdelaBarnes.com, and of course, I'm a juggler, I do a lot of things, and I really do want to plug that we're now receiving submissions for my Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival through August 31st for solo artists, be they actors, dancers, storytellers, comedians, what have you, and so they can go to our website at www.lawtf.org, is in Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival. So I hope that people will submit. We've had artists from around the world.
So all female, right?
So, yes. Although for our 20th anniversary, we had a whole program that was devoted to men, and sometimes we do have men who perform. Ted Lange has been with us from Love Boat, and Roger Warner Smith, and many others over the years.
Sure.
Primarily, we do focus on female solo artists. Yes.
Wow. So, well, it's been a privilege to have you on my show again. I want to thank you once again. You are an angel to be, you know, to interview, and you're a wonderful woman, you know.
Oh, thank you so much, Derek. It's my pleasure. And just one thing I want to say in closing, that when people go to my website at Adela, AdelaBarnes.com, they'll see many other things that I do that they interest in that they may want to explore further, like my Writers Well Literary Retreat for Women. Women come from around the globe to write, so they may be interested in some of your writers.
And when's that going to be again?
That's year-round. All a person has to do is call and say, you got any space? I'd like to come and write for X amount of time. And it's year-round.
And
writing in all genres of writing, from screenwriting to one-woman shows to screenplays, you name it.
Are you working on any new books, too, by the way?
You know, I still have the first book that came out, and I'm thinking now about what I'd like my second book to be about, that I can really, you know, put my teeth into doing as a sequel to my first book. But I'm really proud. It came in number 3 in Essence Magazine, behind of 2009.
Yes, that's...
That's when you... High on that honor. That was quite an honor.
Yes, it was. Well, thank you once again, and I'll be looking forward to seeing more about you, and can't wait to have you on my show again in like next year or something like that, okay?
I'll have to come back. Okay, thank you, Derek.
Bye-bye. Derek Shapiro on the streets of Providence with the one and only Chubby Tavares from Tavares. How you doing, Mr. Chubby Tavares?
I'm good. How you doing?
Great. Back here, exclusive interview. We're talking with Derek. And, of course, you grew up here on the streets of Providence, of course, Fox Point.
Yes, I did. I was born and raised in Fox Point.
Tell me that experience.
Oh, well, it was a great experience, you know, being born and raised in Providence. So I have a lot of friends here and a lot of friends. This is my home, you know. My career is, a lot of people say we were from Massachusetts, but we're not from Massachusetts. Some of my brothers were born in Massachusetts, some were born in Rhode Island.
So half the group, Tavares, of course, is from Massachusetts,
right.
From Rhode Island, but all of you got raised in Fox Point, though, huh?
Yeah, well, Fox Point. I mean, that's our dad was from Rhode Island, my mother was from Massachusetts.
Now, your dad was an entertainer. Tell me about your dad.
My dad was a great musician. He went under the name, stage name of Flash Vieira.
Flash?
Vieira.
Vieira.
Yeah. And, but his name was Feliciano Tavares.
Really?
One of my brothers in the group's name is Feliciano Tavares Jr.
Really?
My dad had seven, like, a big up, you know,
right.
three sisters. So we had our ups and downs, you know,
sure.
We were kids.
Sure. So of course, you being, you know, a Grammy Award winner, you being on the soundtrack for Saturday Night Fever, of course. Tell me that experience.
Oh, it was a great experience. We actually didn't even know that this was going to happen. We went on tour with the Bee Gees, and we were having a sound check, and the Bee Gees were sitting out in the audience listening to us have a sound check. And I thought they were roads.
Right.
They all dressed with ripped jeans and stuff. And it just turned out, happened to be that it was the Bee Gees sitting out there. So when we finished rehearsal, we went backstage. This was in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Wow.
And they finally came up to us, and our manager came to us and said, you know, the Bee Gees talking about writing a song for you guys. And they have this great song for you guys to do. It's called More Than a Woman.
Wow.
And it started from there. And that's we ended up doing the song. Came on the Robert Stiglitz movie.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Fever. And it was history after that.
And of course, they did the version too on the same
They did a version because the director of the movie decided to film the movie from the back to the front. And Oz wasn't ready yet. So they ended up putting theirs in just for you know, for a reason to do the
sure.
That scene,
sure.
But they never took it out.
Wow.
We should have had it, but it was fine.
Sure.
I mean, that's something the year 1978.
Wow, that's awesome. Now tell me about for your hit other song, Penny for Your Thoughts.
Penny for Your Thoughts was nominated in 1981, but we were with a different record company.
Really?
We had just left Capitol and Capitol Records, and we were with RCA.
Wow, so...
And we had two albums with RCA, and then it was the end of it.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell me, how was it like to be with Capitol and RCA? Did you meet a lot of other groups, like the Beach Boys and the Beatles?
We met everybody, you know. I'm
yeah.
In London, we're always in Liverpool, which that's where the Beatles are from.
Sure.
So we didn't have a close relationship with them, but we knew them.
Who are some of your influences that you worked with in the past that is very memorable when you got started in the industry?
My biggest memory, and I tell everyone when I'm up on the road between Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye was my protege.
Really?
You know, I thought the world of him, you know, he was such a great entertainer. Too far ahead of his time.
Sure, sure.
You know, and sad that the way he left this world, but, you know, I say prayers for all times. He was a great guy.
Really? But also, too, like, tell me about, you know, you all dressed alike, you know, on stage together, you know. You all entertainers, you know.
know, with Jack too, and
the Jacksons also, you know.
Really?
And, yeah.
Tell me about that experience.
Well, we worked in a place called Century City in Los Angeles.
Yep.
And when we finished the show, I mean, there was so much energy going on there.
Yep.
And the next day, the caption line was, Tavares and the Jackson 5 had enough energy to light all of Los Angeles.
Really? Now, of course, you're the second oldie group, you know, part of oldie group that I've interviewed, of course. You know, Florence LaRue from The Fifth Dimension.
Yes.
To ask her this, so how did Michael Jackson's death, how did that affect you?
Everyone. I mean, I knew him, you know, we knew him personally, so it was a tragic loss.
Sure.
It's so sad that then this is the problem where people get dependent on drugs, you know, and we are so fortunate that the upbringing that we had, you know, and it's not saying that even with good upbringing that you don't go astray.
Exactly.
Some people just don't have that tendency to relate to saying no.
Exactly. You know? And of course, what about Whitney Houston's death early this past year?
Oh God, that was a great loss. You know, I can go back when I was in Los Angeles in the recording studio. We were doing second album, you know, and it was unbelievable because she was in the studio right next to us.
Really?
And she loved jelly beans. That was what kept her metabolism up.
Sure, sure.
But you know, she had a great, great, great career, you know, and her career will continue on, you know. Sad the way she died.
Exactly.
You know, but we all have that day one day that, you know, we're mocked. We're going to go.
Sure. And of course, you and your brothers, of course, were on American Bandstand with Dick Clark.
Yeah.
And of course, Soul Train. Tell me about those experiences.
American Bandstand was always big. When they first told us we were going on there, it was like, if you cross over the pop, you had to go on American Bandstand.
Exactly.
And Dick Clark was a super guy. And, you know, we ended up, Soul Train was a great experience. I mean, the kids always dancing and kind of, we had a great time with so many people.
Sure.
And Don Cornelius, rest his soul, I mean, he just passed.
Sure.
And, you know, it's sad the way people have to go, but we all, you know, it's going to come that day where we always going to make that trip.
Exactly. Of course, I'm speaking to Mr. Chubby Tavares. Of course, he has a new solo CD. I'm going to talk about with him next, too. But first, are you and your brothers going to be touring in the near future?
Right now, you know, the economy's not all that great, so a lot of groups from the 70s are not really doing well. We're still big in England.
Exactly.
We just got back from London. We were there for a 15-day tour with The Temptations and Four Tops.
And how was that experience again?
Oh, wonderful, man. Yeah. I mean, we had solo crowds. It just, you know, and when we finished doing the tour, Otis from The Temps, who was an original, and Duke from the Four Tops came to us and said, you know something? We're going to keep on doing some shows with you guys. He said, we're going to call ourselves the 3 T's. Tavares, the Tox, and the Temps.
That's awesome. I like that. And now, of course, you know, Mr. Tavares, Chubby Tavares, has a new CD out. It's called Jealousy. And I'm telling you, a lot of people love this CD. The way you performed this for my bashes back last year. And of course, you know, this is 2013 now, you know. Tell me about Jealousy, but Jealousy made a huge splash in 2012 and now transferring to this year, 2013. Tell me about Jealousy.
Jealousy is a great, you know something, I had all admirations to go to Los Angeles and do this CD because I had a gentleman named Saul Davis who kept trying to get me to go and record for the last 10 years.
Right.
And I kept putting it off, you know, but this year, last year I decided that I was going to go and do it. And,
exactly.
I had a great time doing the CD. The CD is very mellow. I enjoyed every song that I did on that CD.
Sure, and of course, the video, it's a unique video. I like the video, like when you sit on the bed, of course,
yeah,
right by the water. Tell me about that video.
That video was actually done with a friend of mine. His name is Michael Santos.
Yes.
He decided he wanted to do a video on me, so we just picked certain locations in New Bedford, Massachusetts, that we ended up doing this video. It came out great.
That waterfront, I thought it was maybe by the Oakland Beach area, but that was in New Bedford.
That was in New Bedford. Right. There's a great little restaurant over there called Davy's Locker.
Really?
And I'm very, very close friends with the owner, so we ended up filming over there.
That's awesome.
Had a great time.
I like you sitting on the bed too in the video too. That was awesome. You did a wonderful job of that too. And of course, in the beginning of the video, you were standing up in front of a crowd. Where was that done?
That was in a local a lounge in New Bedford on Union Street called it used to be called what's the name of that?
I made Chubby Tavares think.
Yeah, you made me think, and that's tough. I forgot the name of it offhand, but
sure.
It was like one of the famous clubs that were in New Bedford.
Sure.
So when I walked in and everyone said surprise,
exactly,
you know, and it was great, man. And when you do things with your people, your family, your friends, it makes it that much better.
Sure. You know? I consider you a family for the DSS TV station, the Derek Shapiro Show, because you're wonderful, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
And also, too, what's the second single after Jealousy? What can we expect?
Well, I'm hoping that they come out with the Words of a Fool.
Words of a Fool. You've been singing that, too, huh?
Words of a Fool was written by Barry Gibb.
Barry Gibb, yes.
From the Bee Gees.
Yep.
You know, it's sad he's lost all his brothers now. And for some reason, he wanted to do this country gospel.
Sure.
And he wrote it and said, "This is for Chubby." And I ended up doing it. I love the song.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Fantastic.
And of course, can you tell us, of course, where people can find you? ChubbyTavares.com?
You can go ChubbyTavares.com, and it'll bring you right to my website where you can purchase the on Amazon or iTunes.
Sure. And of course, you're making a transition to Florida, too.
Yes, I'm actually leaving the end of December.
And what can we expect you back here?
Well, you know, I'm always going to be around here. It's just that I decided that it's like time for me to go there. You know, it's warm there.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of work there. So, you know, I'm looking forward to going there.
And of course, I'm going to be in Atlanta this month, of course, in January, of course. So hopefully we come up to Atlanta, you know?
That'd be great.
Also, too, you're my movie, too, of course.
When you say Atlanta, I have a grandson that lives in Atlanta.
What part of Atlanta?
He's right in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, because it's also got to Atlanta, too, Marietta, Smyrna.
Yeah, he's in Atlanta,
wow,
Georgia.
You want to give a shout-out to Atlanta, your grandson?
Hi, Kai J.
Awesome. In Atlanta, Georgia. We both have Atlanta connection. So, also, too, you're my movie, too, of course. The Case of the Radio Show host, you have a cameo in there. Tell me about you working with me in my movie a little bit, too.
I don't know if I can tell you that, because I don't do no interviews. And
exactly.
The only interviews I do is for Derek Shapiro.
Exactly. And again, I'm Derek Shapiro, but it's going to be a good scene. That's going to be the scene, of course. So I do thank you much, Mr. Chubby Tavares.
Thank you, sir.
And I do love you and respect you a lot, and you are great. Thank you very much. Signing off here on Talking with Derek here on DSSTVStation.com. All right, here on DSS TV Station, Talking with Derek and Derek Shapiro Show, episode 87, we have actor Austin Peck. How are you doing, Austin?
I'm great, Derek. How are you?
Great. So, you're former of All Life to Live, of course, and Days of Our Lives. So, you're a trainer now, right?
Yeah, it's one of the things I'm doing. It's a love of mine. I work at just all my own, do my own thing, and kickboxing at a UFC gym.
Kickboxing, you said?
No, boxing.
Boxing.
Yeah.
So do you want to be a professional boxer?
No, I'm 42. I'm beyond that point. No, boxing, martial arts was something I was always kind of into.
Yep.
But then it really became my discipline, it really became boxing. Over 20 years ago.
Yep.
And I've just been doing it ever since, and now I'm teaching it, and, you know, I do group classes that are more like fitness classes with a lot of technique, and, you know, that are just with a ton of hand guys and, like, boot camp type stuff, and then
Now, what's some of the boxes that you look up to?
There's so many. I mean, right now, to me, Mayweather is just such an incredible guy. I mean, he really is truly, instead of playing on his own, there's a lot of, middleweights and welterweights right now that are pretty amazing. My ultimate,
Right. Now, also, are you familiar with the old school, like Vinny Pazienza from Rhode Island?
Yeah, he was really into boxing.
So you must really like the Contender back on NBC when that was on, right?
I watched the first season. I thought that was pretty well done.
Well, you're in the likes of Peter Manfredo, you're the winner, because I interviewed him back in the day.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. I met Sergio that fought Peter.
Yep.
He's a nice guy. He's a good fighter.
So what are you doing in the gym now? Like you're a trainer too, like for physical fitness, right?
Yeah, I train people, and I do group classes and I do boot camps. It's always been a passion of mine ever since I was a young teenager, fitness, and now I'm just doing something I love.
So, of course, you played All-Star on Days of Our Lives back in the day, right?
Yeah, and Brad Snyder on Azul Tennis, and Rick Powers on One Life to Live.
So tell me, I mean, do you ever train women?
Oh, yeah. So I'm training a woman right now. She's in her 50s. And I'm teaching her boxing as if I would teach a 19-year-old.
So how does it feel like, does a woman say, oh my God, I'm getting now a workout from and trained by Austin from Days of Our Lives?
Well, I mean, if anyone's ever felt that way, they haven't expressed that to me.
Yes.
They've been much more, I guess, subdued.
Yes.
Or they haven't really gone that route.
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, as far as I know, everybody, I don't talk about it unless people bring it up.
Sure. Now also
it's
too,
just a different world for me.
Exactly. So have you been getting back into acting, and has the One Life to Live reboot asked you to be back on their show?
I know a lot of people on the show. Because One Life to Live, I played a character that was, he was inconsistent and wasn't a main, he was more of a supporting role character. He was very much a character. And so, they had their allotted, they only had so many people they could get on the show.
Yeah.
And the character itself was in a mainstream character. But they can always bring him back.
Right.
I'm doing also in another online series that is called Tainted Dreams, and we start shooting that at the end of the month.
And who's and where's that going to be? What channel?
I think it might be on the online network.
Is that your show that you created?
No, it's not a show that I created. It's a show that was created by Sonia Biancardo. She used to be producer and director on All Natural Turns, and now she's, I think, working on All My Children.
Yep.
It's totally separate.
And tell me about your character. What's your character going to be like in the show?
Well, it's kind of like, I think it's, the whole premise of it is it takes place behind the scenes of the soap opera.
Yep.
So there's a lot of comedy in it.
Exactly. So are you more of a comedy type of person, or are you more of a drama type of person?
To be honest, outside of daytime, I did all comedy.
And one other thing, what do you think about Roger Howarth, Kristen Alderson, and Michael Eaton playing different characters now on GH?
Well, Well, what do I think about it?
Yeah.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I don't think about it, but since you asked me, I think it's great.
Yes. But anyway, thank you much, Austin Peck. And also, too, if people want to reach you for training, where can people get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me at one place if you get a hold of me. I mean, you have to be in the area, but one gym I work at is a UFC gym, an Ultimate Fighting Championship gym in Totowa, New Jersey. Okay. Like, we're having a grand opening on the 27th, and I think one of the Melissa Gorgia, she'll be there taking one of my calls.
Melissa.
She's from Melissa Gorgia, she does Housewives of New Jersey or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, she's supposed to come and take in. So we're having a big opening, and it's going to be really fun.
Well, thank you very much, of course, again, Austin Peck, and thank you for being on the DSS TV station and the Derek Shapiro Show. Thank you very much.
Hey, guys. Take care, man.
You too.
Thank you. love the flow and just mop it. Show these gangsters how you pop lock it. Don't care what you got in your pocket. I beat the way that you rockin' with that thang thang. Girl, stop it. Wanna just bang bang and pop it while the club crowd are just watching. Work it out. Got a gang of cash and it's going all on the ball.
Now work it out.
And it's going fast cause I feel like a superstar.
Now work it out.
And you may not have it, I might have just broke the law.
Now work it out.
It's your turn to grab it and I make this whole thing yours.
Now work it out.
Said our hustler's work is never through. We making it cause we making more. The only thing we know how to do. Said it's the only thing we know how to do. Work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard. We work hard, play hard, keep partying like it's your job. Work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard. We work hard, play hard, keep partying like it's your job.
Take a little crime to come undone. All right, Derek Shapiro, show episode 92 for the number 9th, 8th, and 7th segment. Number 9 is Sean Kanan from General Hospital. Of course, he was in Credicate, part 3, Into the Bad Guy. And of course, he's a comedian, but he also has another internet radio show on UBN Radio every Wednesday night. Sean Kanan, it was AJ Quinterman and General Hospital, came in number 9 for the year. 8, Jagged Edge, came in number 8th for the year. 7, Mel B, of course, from the Spice Girls. Now for the 9th, 8th, and 7th, so 9th is Matchbox 20, Overjoy, 3 weeks at number 1. 8, Girly Disco in my drawers. Do you have disco in your drawers? Number 3, weeks at number 1. Number 3 weeks at number 1, but 8th for the countdown for the year. 3 weeks at number 1. And 7 is Billy Gilman and 18 other country artists. The Choice, 4 weeks at number 1. Number 7 for the year. Episode 92.
Right. All right, here on the Talking with Derek DSS TV station, Derek Shapiro Show, we have Sean Kanan. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Yes, well, thank you. I mean, of course, you're no stranger to internet radio and television, of course. You're on the UBN. Yes. So, and of course, you're doing multiple hats, you know. You're an actor in General Hospital. You do your own internet radio, and you have a new book out, too, huh?
I do have a book called The Modern Gentleman, Cooking and Entertaining with Sean Kanan. And I produce as well, and, I like to have my hands in a lot of different pies. I guess there's different aspects of the entertainment business that I guess most people different things inside of me. And so, you know, for me to do just one thing and be limited to that, I think it would become a little bit boring at some point. So that's why I guess I do so many different things.
Exactly. I like that. You can't keep your eggs in one basket these days, you know?
Exactly.
So,
well, you know, it's interesting you say, the entertainment business, I think, has become, it's always been a difficult business. And I think anyone who reaches success as an entertainer and is able to make their livelihood solely as an entertainer has kind of won a lottery. But, you know, it's become so hard and so competitive that I think a lot of us have had to wear different hats and become multi-hyphenates to sort of ensure that success.
Well, you know, you're the third person from General Hospital I had on my show. I'm actually the second cast member, though. I interviewed Roseanne back in the day, and Roseanne was a guest on at General Hospital. And, of course, your pal Laura Wright and her husband John has been on my show before. And they wear
and they wear
multiple hats, too, of course, you know.
Well, they're
vintners. I'm sorry? Yes, and so I'm glad that you are doing stuff with your wife too, Michelle.
Absolutely, Michelle and I host Kanan's Rolls on UBN Radio every Wednesday night at 8 Pacific time.
That's cool. Now, also, let me ask you a question. What do you like better, doing the radio or doing the acting on General Hospital? Or do you like both in the same?
I enjoy radio. It's a much, much, much less structured process.
Yep.
I also do stand-up comedy. I really enjoy doing that. But the thing about radio that I get that I don't get with General Hospital is, you know, they're my words. I'm speaking my words and able to give, you know, my opinions about things as opposed to playing a character and you know, having to adhere to a script, which was obviously written by somebody else.
Sure.
But, you know, like I said, each one of them has something different that I like specifically, and that's why I do them.
Now, do you get nervous interviewing your fellow actors on your show, you know? Like, I know you're going to have Steve Burton on your show, you know? And you interviewed one of your cast members from General Hospital, Finola Hughes. Do you get nervous interviewing them?
No, I don't get nervous interviewing them. I think sometimes, I keep the show loosely structured, and I have Michelle by my side, and I don't really get nervous. I mean, there are sometimes I've interviewed some people, and
easier to do than others, and some that you'll go a little more smoothly, and the conversation flows a little more easily.
Yep.
But not too much. Listen, one thing actors love to do is talk about themselves.
Yes.
So you know, when I get actors on the show and get them to start talking about themselves, usually they keep it going.
Now, also, I saw on YouTube, I read that you were in Celebrity Rehab yourself back in the day, right?
Yeah, that was something I did, several years ago.
Now, did you have a drinking problem, or did you have a drug problem back in the day?
You know what, that's all stuff that's really my past. It's not really stuff that I choose to go into.
Well, no, I just want to ask you, because your character, AJ, on General Hospital, has a drinking problem, right? Is it hard to do that, knowing that the past that you had?
Anytime an actor has life experience that they can draw from, hopefully it makes the performance more believable. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. You know, obviously I have a son on General Hospital now, and I have not only my daughter, who just turned 12,
yep,
but I have four stepchildren.
Wow.
And I think I'm infinitely more capable of playing a father now that I am one, rather than, you know, before I was one. Now, that doesn't mean that I couldn't have played it, but I'd like to think that the depth of the performance is enhanced because it's supported with real life experience.
And how old is your daughter again?
My daughter's 12.
Yeah, my daughter's 12. She's going to be 13 October 2nd, my daughter London, you know? And
yeah, good luck, man.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's great, but it's you know, I've got four girls and one boy, and it's you know, it's great, and it's wonderful, and it's fun, and it's also, you know, challenging,
yes,
and frustrating, and all the things that it is to be a parent. But you know, those are all the things that, you know, hopefully I'm able to bring when I work with you know, Chad Duhl.
Yeah. You do. And now let me ask you, who do you look up to? You know, you're a stand-up comic too, of course. Who do you look up for stand-up comedians?
You know, I really like Brian Caitlin. Brian's been in, you know, the Hangover movies. I think he's just a super funny guy.
Yep.
Really, really funny guy. And he's actually, I know Brian, and he's actually been really helpful to me with my stand-up. I like John Leguizamo's stand-up a lot because there's a real pathos to it. I mean, a lot of John Leguizamo's earlier years, from what he said in his stand-up, was really trying to please his father. And there was a lot of sort of heartbreak with that. So he has a lot of material that he talks about that's extremely funny, but there's also like an underlying sadness to it.
Yep.
And at the end of one of his routines, he kind of was like, "Hey, Dad, look at me. You know, I made it. You know, you're finally gonna respect me and love me now." And I was struck by the fact that it's not easy to be funny up on stage.
No, that, it's not.
But to be funny up on stage and also have, you know, an extreme, poignant life viewpoint.
Yep.
I think that just deepens it even more, and you know, he did that. I mean, obviously, you know, I grew up with Eddie Murphy. I actually listened to George Carlin and Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy for me was probably one of the greatest stand-ups ever.
Yes, I actually had the privilege to interview, but meet Eddie Murphy's brother, Charlie Murphy, back in the day in New York.
Charlie's hilarious. I love Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood on Dave Chappelle's show.
Yes.
I think Charlie's incredibly talented too.
Oh yes. Now, who do you look up to as a serious actor? Because of course you're in General Hospital. Who do you look up to as a serious actor?
One of my favorite actors of all time is Paul Newman.
Paul Newman, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's my son's favorite. One of his favorite actors, because you know he was in Cars. You know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
And definitely Robert Downey. And you know, pre Iron Man and all of that. I've actually had the good fortune to meet Robert, hang out with him on several occasions. cops.
Really?
Yeah, he's a consummate actor, and the ability that he has to do comedy, do action, do drama, and having come back from, you know, such, you know, personal adversity, you know, with his substance problems and everything, you know, I have tremendous admiration for him.
Sure, and who do you look up to as an author?
As an author? Well, you know, I know it might sound a little bit derivative and cliche, but I mean, probably the first author I really looked up to was J.D. Salinger when I was a kid, and ultimately I wound up writing a script called Chasing Holden that I executive produced and starred in, the Lionsgate distributed, about a kid that runs away from boarding school to find J.D. Salinger.
Sure.
I like John Kennedy Toole, who wrote A Confederacy of Dunces.
Yep.
I like Ernest Hemingway a lot.
And last but not least, who do you look to as a radio host?
The one, the only, Howard Stern.
You know, that was funny, but I was listening to your show, I think last week.
Howard Stern is an absolute pioneer. He's fearless. He gets his guests to open up and to talk about things that they probably, you know, never in a million years thought that they were going to do when they walked in the door. And he made it really interesting. I watched him on an interview with Katie Couric the other day.
Yep.
And he said, you know, people get in there in that tiny room with me, and it's really just the two of us, and it creates an intimacy, and they forget that the whole world's listening, and they talk to me like I'm an intimate friend.
Yep.
And that's what really creates good radio, and I agree about that.
Yes. You know, for me, me being a radio, I look up to Ryan Seacrest. I interviewed Ryan Seacrest. I had that privilege, you know. And when I, you know, met Ryan Seacrest, I was so nervous, you know. And I took a picture with him, you know what I'm saying? And it was so cool.
I remember when I was first starting my career, Ryan was still working, I think, for Rick Dees.
Yeah.
He had his own show, yeah, and Ryan interviewed me years ago. He's a really nice guy.
Oh, he is. He is awesome.
Not been a nicer guy, and it was a real pleasure. He interviewed me, and it was great.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Sean. And
it was my pleasure. Yes. Thank you so much for being so supportive of our show, Kanan's Rules. I really appreciate that. I know you're in the in the chat room a lot. We sure appreciate having you support us.
Well, thank you, and thank you for supporting me on the Derek Shapiro Show and DSS TV station. I really appreciate it. All right, and Sean, you want to tell us a few things that's coming up in October, November?
Yeah, November's going to be a big month. It's my birthday, November 2nd, so I decided that I wanted to have a birthday bash weekend with the fans. I'll be in the New York City area, and on November 1st, I'll be filming Red Eye with Greg Gutfeld, and then November 2nd, I'll be appearing at the Brokerage Comedy Club, and there are still tickets available. And we're also going to be screening the Soapstar video that I've been talking about for so long. And then on Sunday, November 3rd, I'll be appearing at Uncle Vinny's. And if anybody wants to get information for any of those shows, you can call the Brokerage at 516-781-5233. Or you can call Uncle Vinny's at 732-899-3900. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody coming out and celebrating my birthday with me.
All right. Thank you much, Sean.
Hey, this is Sean Kanan, Jared Hospital, and you're listening to Derek Shapiro.
Yo, it's your boy Wingo from Jagged Edge, man. I'm chilling with my main man, Derek Shapiro. You're watching the Derek Shapiro Show. We love y'all. Y'all keep it locked, man, because we do. All right? Peace. What's up, y'all? What's going on with down? It's your boy Wingo from Jagged Edge. You're watching the DSS TV station. It's going all the way down, man. Y'all keep it locked, all right?
Hi, Miss Mel B. Mel, can you give a shout out to the Derek Shapiro Show?
To who?
The Derek Shapiro Show.
I don't know who that show is.
Oh, that's me, actually.
Oh, I
have a movie out. I'm on a life.